God's challenge to us today comes in the form of a question. And it's the same question that Moses had to ask about 15 chapters later to Israel. And that question is, who's on the Lord's side? Who's on the Lord's side? That's what God wants to ask us today. In these last and evil days, the wheat is being separated from the chaff. Only things with substance are going to stick. Everything else is going to be burned up in the fire. Everything else God is putting out of his remembrance. So God really wants to know today, are you really on the Lord's side? Or are you here just playing church? Who is truly and really diligently seeking Christ every single day? And who is here just on Sunday? Or who is here just because Christmas is 2 days away? Oh, I know you didn't come for this. I know you came for a nativity scene. But don't you worry. We're going to get there. We're going to get there. But the Spirit of God is really looking to challenge you today. Challenge you to take inventory of your life today. For those of us who are saved, we will look to lean into this correction. I pray. Lean in. Accept the correction. And then we're going to get stronger. We're going to get stronger. That's what the saints of God do. But for the unsaved, and for those of you who know you are pretending to be saved, the word is here to call you out. It's going to call you out, but then it's going to beckon you forward. Thank you, Jesus. So that you can truly, once and for all, make up your mind and join up with the saints on the Lord's side. Anybody ready for that today? Anybody ready? Come on. Come with me. So let's go into the text. Let's look at the background here. And we're here with Israel. I told you already. Where they're in the wilderness. God has delivered them from the Egyptians, from their years and years and years, hundreds of years of slavery, and God has brought them through the Red Sea on dry land. God has given them sweet water to drink when all that they had was bitter water in Marah. God is raining manna, raining provision from heaven on a daily basis to meet their need for food. God has even given them water from out of a rock. And that's where we are today. We're in the same place, Rephidim, where Moses struck the rock and water came gushing out. That's where we find Israel now. And it's here in verse 8 where the Amalekites show up. The Amalekites show up and they attack Israel in the wilderness. These Amalekites were descendants of Esau. And you know who Esau was? He was the twin brother of Jacob. And Jacob, we know, kind of tricked Isaac, his daddy, into getting Esau's birthright. So we got a little bit of a generational feud going. Okay, somebody knows what I'm talking. There's a generational feud going on. Not the Hatfields and the McCoys, but a generational feud going on. So the Amalekites attack. They attack Israel, and we just read the story, and it's a pretty familiar one. And in this battle, we see that Moses gets to the top of the hill, and he's commanding. And when he lifts his hands, Israel prevails. Israel starts to win. But when he would drop his hands, they would find that the Amalekites would start to win. And that would go back and forth. And eventually Moses finally gets tired. And this is where, watch, Aaron and Hur get on one side and the other. And they take turns lifting up the hands of Moses. And they do so until verse 13, where Israel is victorious in battle. Joshua discomfited. He overwhelmed the Amalekites. And Israel won the victory. And I wanted to shout here, but we got to keep going. So Moses then commemorates the moment. He memorializes the moment. He says, remember this by building an altar to God and calling it Jehovah Nissi, or Yahweh Nissi, which simply means the Lord is my banner. Thank you, Jesus. And we say this all the time. It may be on one of these. We say it all the time, but what does it really mean? Well, I looked for a way to simply break it down, and I found a commentator who said this. It says, ancient armies carried standards or banners, those are flags basically, that served as marks of identification and as symbols that embody the ideals of a people. Yeah. A banner carried at the head of an army or planted on a high hill, like we saw Moses do, served as a rallying point for troops before the battle or as an announcement of a victory already won. So this is what Moses is doing here on top of the hill. He uses this particular name of God, Yahweh Nissi, for this battle, to remember this battle, because that's what he did on top of the hill as Moses, watch him, as he climbs to the top. But he's not going empty-handed, Rev. He's going with a rod in his hand. This is the same rod that he cast down and it turned into a serpent. It's the same rod that he stuck out over the Red Sea and he parted it and dry land appeared. This is the same rod earlier in chapter 17 that struck the rock and water came forth. So this rod, every time that we see it, the rod represents the very power of God. And so this rod, the power of God, was the banner of Israel. And as he stretched it out over the battlefield, he declared to Israel and he declared to her enemies that we fight for God. We fight for the God who brought us out of Egypt by his great power. We are on the Lord's side. So that's what Moses declared. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is my banner. But saints, what about you today? When the world looks at you, do they see the power of God? When they look at you, do they see his character on a daily basis? Do they see his love? Do they see his salvation? Or when they look at you, do they just see a reflection of themselves? Do they just see that you're doing everything you can do to fit in to this world? Well, today, saints, God is telling you to come out from among them and be ye separate. See, the text is going to give each of us, if we will listen, if we will heed the word of God, the text will give each of us, and I'm including me, an opportunity to check our walks and make the corrections, not tomorrow, not the next day, not wait till next Sunday, but make the change today. Why? So then we can be like Moses in our story today and declare to the whole world that we are on the Lord's side. Does anybody want to go with me today? Anybody want to go? Let's go, let's go. So I told you we're going to check our walks here. So number one, checkpoint number one. First. When you're on the Lord's side, you cannot afford to fall behind. You cannot afford to be a straggler in the Christian walk. You can't do it. You can't do it. Not in this world we live in, because make no mistake about it, saints of God, the enemy, Satan, is trying to pick you off. And that's, I like how Peter says it. He says, be sober, be vigilant, pay attention, y'all, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. That's what we're up against. And we've all seen Nat Geo. We've all seen Planet Earth, and we know how lions do it. They don't just run into the middle of the herd and start trying to get everybody. No, what do? They run them around. They run them around until someone falls behind, until one of them gets weak, until one of them gets tired, and then the female lions, they isolate them and they take them down. Isolation, the falling behind. The same thing happened in our text today. We read in verse 8 that Amalek showed up and fought with Israel, right? But when you keep reading, go to Deuteronomy 25, and you'll see that Amalek actually during this time deployed the same tactics as the lions. Moses says in Deuteronomy, remember what Amalek did unto thee by the way when you were come forth out of Egypt, how he met thee by the way and smote the hindmost of thee, even all that were feeble behind thee, when thou wast faint and weary, falling behind. And what were you doing? The Amalekites feared not God. They didn't fear God because you were by yourself. You were isolated. So saints, in the 21st century world, we cannot afford to be stragglers. We cannot afford to fall behind in this Christian journey. With all the craziness going on, with all the distractions, with all of the outright evil that is happening in this city and happening today all over the world, you will get picked off. You will. And the proof is repeated all throughout the word of God over and over and over. Run to Luke, and Jesus simply said, remember Lot's wife. There's no time to go back. There's no time to look back on your past and see your lustful desires and see all the things that you had. And as you're looking back, you end up falling behind the rest of the band. And the next thing you know, you're consumed with the blast that was intended for the world. And Lot's wife became a pillar of salt. She was straggling. Look at Peter, who said, Lord, I'm with you. Lord, I'm with you. Always I'm with you till the end. Lord, I'll lay down my life for you, Jesus. But look at Matthew. When he made it to Jesus' trial, Matthew says that Peter followed afar off. And unlike John, who we know was there, and I believe John was at Jesus' side, Peter was busy in the courtyard warming himself at the fires, warming himself with all the creature comforts of the rest of the people who were just there to spectate. Why? So because he wasn't as close as he said he was going to be, he was easy pickings. And the enemy got to him. The enemy appealed to his anger and his quick tongue. Oh, it's talking about me now. He appealed to him, and he would go on and angrily deny that he even knew who Jesus was. The same man he said he would just die for, now he says, I don't even know what he looks like. So, saints of God, there are too many souls that need to be saved. So we cannot afford to be lackadaisical in our faith. See, our families are so under attack, and there's no more time to procrastinate with our witness. The world is watching us, so we can't waffle in the church full of the Holy Ghost one day and the next day full of gossip and full of lust and flat out full of hell on Monday. Can't do it. Can't do it. And this is why Jesus told us in Revelation, you thought he was talking to the church at Laodicea, but he was talking to you and me. He said, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Are there any parts of your life where you're lukewarm for Jesus? Are there any parts of my life, Lord, where I'm straggling? And God gave me some of these, and he said, are you straggling in your giving? Are you straggling in your prayer life? Are you straggling in your knowledge and your seeking of God's word? Well, when you're not doing these things, that's making you weary. These are supposed to give you your strength, but you're not doing them, so it's keeping you weak. And when you're weak and when you're weary, you will fall behind just like the stragglers because you're not getting your strength. I mean, doesn't the word of God say give and it shall be given unto you? Well, that's your strength right there. Doesn't the word of God say the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much? Well, the prayer is intended for your strength. Is it the word of God, the very weapon that you have been given to wield in this battle? Well, if you don't know it, if you're not applying it, then you're losing your strength. So if you're not diligent about these things or whatever God is going to reveal to you, the next thing you know, you're falling behind. You're getting isolated. You stop serving others. Next thing you know, you stop fellowshipping with the saints. Next thing you know, you're just like Israel, and whatsoever state you're in, you're a malcontent. And all you do is murmur. So in effect, all you're telling God is, I would have rather died in Egypt. When you do these things, you're telling God, I wish you had just left me in my sins because you're not worth me keeping up. And it's all because you fell behind and allowed the enemy to get in here and pick you off. So if you're on the lower side, take stock today. Where are you falling behind? I have my areas, and he's working on me. So be honest with God, repent, and turn today before it's too late. He already gave me my chance, so I've already done it, so I'm grateful. God is giving you now today an opportunity to do this thing right. And you can even do it privately before God has to make a public example of you. It's like Minister Sherrod said the other week, don't make him put you through that test. You don't want to go through that season of testing. Don't make him make you a public example. And I know there's some of us in here today, I believe it, and I'm not being facetious, that you are strong in the Lord and you're keeping up and you're not straggling. So now I've got to tell you, like God told me, what about your family? What about your friends? What about your loved one? What are you doing to strengthen them? Men of God, what about your household? Is your household covered? All of the people of God in here, is there someone at your job? Is there someone in your class that needs your help? Leaders in the church, is there a ministry that needs our attention? Hallelujah. In the body of Christ, we are only as strong as our weakest link. So what we've got to do is when we see people straggling, as we see people struggling, let's go get them. Let's go pick them up. And yes, even sometimes we got to give them a swift kick in the pants and tell them, you better get it in gear and come on. Because all of us need to stand together so we can all firmly declare to this world that we are on the Lord's side. Who's on the Lord's side? If you're on the Lord's side, stop straggling today. Get it right and keep up with the pack, lest you get picked off. Number two, I'm not going to vex you too long, just long enough. Checkpoint number two, secondly, when you're on the Lord's side, and we've said this so many times, I'm not telling you anything you haven't heard before. When you're on the Lord's side, you have got to know your role. When you're on the Lord's side, you've got to know your role, you've got to do your part, you've got to stay in your lane and do what God has called you to do. So Rev, as I was reading the story, and somewhere between verses 9 and 10, I had to stop. I had to pause. You see, it says that Moses, I'm paraphrasing, Moses said to Joshua, go get the men together and fight. Meanwhile, while he was doing that and going down, getting ready for battle, Moses took Aaron and Hur up to the top of the hill to the command post. So, Rev, Aaron and Hur, not Joshua. Aaron, the one that was going to make the golden calf, and not Joshua. See, I understand that this is the first time that Joshua is being mentioned. This is the first time that Joshua enters the scene, but isn't he the future leader of Israel? Isn't he Moses' eventual successor? So I asked, I said, God, well, what's up with that? What's up with that? What's going on? And he answered me, and he said, yeah, you're right. You're right, Sean. He is all those things, but not yet. Oh, somebody got it. Not yet. See, we get so busy. Like, I was trying to accelerate Joshua, and I was trying to elevate Joshua, and we do the same things, so busy trying to get to my next level that you haven't beaten the level you're on yet. I played a few video games in my life, millennials, y'all. And they call them, there's some of them they call role-playing games. And we're talking about playing our role. And I know that before you get to the next stage, before you take on the next boss, before you get the next new and improved, and before you get the best skills, you need to master the skills you have already. If you don't master the ones you've got already in this level, when you try to skip ahead a few levels, when you get there, the enemies will be too strong for you. And they will take you out. And you're going to have to return to the last checkpoint. Oh, my goodness. So I was talking to millennials, but for everybody in here, all I'm saying is play your role. Practice now what you've got to do. Do what God has already put before you before you go jumping off to your next level, before you go trying to raise yourself up to what he told somebody else to do. Be like Joshua. Be like Joshua, who was humble, and he is the perfect example of why we ought to know our role. You see, this was Israel's first fight after coming out of Egypt, but we know that this wouldn't be their last. So I wonder, did Moses know what Joshua was going to become? Did he know that Joshua would be the one that would lead the Israelite armies into battle in the promised land on the other side of the Jordan? Did he know that Joshua would take out 31 kings and nations in war? Maybe he did. Maybe he did, and maybe he didn't, but I know that God knew. And so Joshua's role right now in our story was to fight the Amalekites. And the things he learned in this battle about himself, the things he learned in this battle about the tactics of warfare, the things he learned in this battle about how God would be mighty in battle are the things that Moses was told instruct these things in the ears of Joshua. Repeat these things in the ears of Joshua. Why? Because I've got work for him to do in the future. These are the things in this battle that Joshua would learn that he would need when God would eventually be with him the same way he was with Moses. But that's a future role. Not yet. So saints, when you're on the Lord's side, you have a role. I know you want it to be big. I know you want it to be grand and just big. But you need to play the role that you've got. Grandiose was the word I was looking for. See, it all fits together, the big and the small, for the future of the kingdom. Can I give you an example? Can I give you an example, a real-life example of someone just playing their role in what seemed to be a small thing? See, they're not here today, and I've known them basically my entire life, so I know they're not going to mind. So how many people remember the visitor that was here last week? I believe his name was Robert. He was on business from Tennessee. See, he was here. So I watched him. He was like the first one here. He basically opened the church. And when Sunday school was over, he moved over to my left, your right side, three rows back near the aisle. And you know whose seat that is. That is the seat of Sister Deanna Buffalo. So I'm watching. I'm like, oh, my goodness, this is not. Oh, Lord. Lord, I'm going to have. Oh, my. He was sitting in her spot. And we know, if you've been in church a couple times, you know that could have got real ugly. You see, not because of my mama, but because, see, but it may have seemed small, but Sister Buffalo at this time played her role. Instead of sucking her teeth and instead of being nasty and saying, instead of saying move over, she kindly just went up to him and said, hey, I'm going to sit next to you today. And then she went on and said, hey, welcome to Solid Rock. I'm Sister Buffalo. And hey, we're not a normal Baptist church. Because a normal Baptist church would have had him ejected from the building. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm laughing, but that's a place to give God praise. Hallelujah. See, I believe that this was a make or break moment. She was willing to play her role on the Lord's side. See, as a deaconess in the Baptist church, she's got a right to that seat. But as the wife of a deacon, her greater role is to not ruin the witness of her husband. Her greater role is to not ruin the witness of the church. The greater role is to not ruin the witness of God. And she did it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. She did it. And played that role perfectly. So all I'm saying to you today is you have to play your role because you don't know how it's going to shape your future. That man said he had late in life and newly come to Christ. He could have abandoned all churches because of that interaction. It's going to shape your future in some way. And you don't know how it's going to shape someone else's future. So play your role. Play your role. I know you want to be the head. I know you want to be in the lead. I know you want to be the mouth. But if you're an eye, ushers, then be the best eye that you can be. And look out for the needs of the people. If you're an ear, armor bearers, then be the best ear that you can be and keep your ear to the ground and know when danger is coming from the people of Christ. If you're a hand, then be the best hand that you can be and go ahead and keep cleaning up and go ahead and keep maintaining the house of God with your physical labor. Play your role because the fact of the matter is that the best leaders, the best ones that you look at, that supposedly they're the mouth, the ones that are in front, the ones that are in the lead, the best ones are the ones who were at one point were the best eyes and were the best ears and the best hands. So you don't know where God has you going. So play your role. Know your role, because the flip side of it is there's danger when you skip ahead. There's danger when you get ahead of God. Don't be like Aaron. Don't be like Aaron and don't let the world and don't let church folks and certainly don't let your own pride and your own flesh pump you up with their in the parking lot, in the shopping mall, behind the pastor's back, outside of the will of God, full of false doctrine prophecy over your life. Don't let them do it. Don't let them do it. Aaron did it. He stepped outside of God's plan. And being the leader of the people while Moses was on the mountain and he made the golden calf. And don't you know that led to the destruction, Paul says, of over 23,000 people. Because he got ahead of God's plan. Yeah. Lives are at stake, saints of God, and you must play your role. Be like Joshua and know that your role is to be obedient. I got to slow down because God told me, the Spirit of God told me, that I can't just talk in generalities here. And so for someone in here, God has already told you what to do. Specifically, there is something that he has got you for you to do in your current role right now. And he's already told you specifically what it is he wants you to do. So I've come to declare to you simply that this isn't an I'll pray about it moment. You don't have time to be praying about it because he already told you. It's not time for you to wait and seek counsel and see, well, let me see what such and thus says about it. And let me see who says this and that about it. No, God has told you to do it. So Minister Shared, gather your resources and get in the fight. That's what he did in verse 10. It says Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. He gathered the troops. So you need to gather your resources and jump in the fight right now. Right now. It's something specific. I'll give you time to think about it, but there's something specific that God has already told you to do. So go do it. Go do it. And if you don't know what you're supposed to do, then here's your job. Stay on your knees. Stay in service to God each and every day, and God will show you what he wants you to do. And while you wait, don't just wait for the big thing. Don't just wait for the call to preach. Don't just wait for the call to start your own church. Don't just wait for the call for your husband and the call for your wife. Do the little things right now. Be obedient to his word in each and every little thing. Because on the Lord's side, obedience is always your role. So know your role. Know your role and play it. Hallelujah. We're almost done. We're almost done. Hallelujah. Know your role, saints. And then, and number three, lastly, when you're on the Lord's side, there are no lone rangers. When you're fighting on the Lord's side, you're not doing this by yourself. You can't do it by yourself. There are no lone rangers on the Lord's side. So how many people here? How many people? As you're fighting for the Lord, sometimes have you ever gotten physically tired? It's okay. Tell the truth in here. Has anyone, while you're fighting for the Lord, ever been physically sick? Physically not at your best, not 100%. Well, guess what? The word is meeting you here today. And some of us that's here, that's today. And we see that Moses, too, in verse 12, got tired. You see, in the middle of the battle, with lives hanging in the balance, Moses' hands just got heavy. He was pouring out all that he could. Don't you, can't you watch him as he would raise this hand and it would go numb and he raised this. Eventually, he met his physical limitations as he was stretching forth the rod over the battle. So here, I love it. God could have done anything he wanted. He could have sent an earthquake and swallowed up the Amalekites. He could have sent fire from heaven and killed the Amalekites. He could have done anything supernaturally, but instead, he gives us a lesson that tells us in this flesh, we need help. We have to rely on each other the same way Moses relied on Aaron and her. We cannot do this alone, saints. Even Solomon, in all his great wisdom, said it this way, two are better than one. Because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And oh my goodness, a threefold cord. Woo! That is not quickly broken. So mess around and get one or two saints on your side, and you will not be quickly broken. You cannot do this alone. God, throughout his word, constantly shows us the value and even the necessity of having someone fight along with us. Adam had Eve. David had Jonathan. Moses had Aaron and Hur. And if you go to the next chapter, Moses had help judging the people. And then you've got Jesus himself. You see, as king, he didn't need help, but once he subjected himself to the physical limitations of a human body, he called the disciples to help him work in his father's business. So whether it's friends or family, husband or wife, co-worker, classmate, pen pal, whatever the relationship, you have to have at least one Christian living for Christ, somebody in your life who will hold you up when you need it and will hold you accountable when you need that too. Because I don't know about you, but in these last days, I can't do this thing on my own. I will wear myself out. So church, this is why we gather in local assemblies, to receive strength from the fellowship of the saints. In Hebrews, we are commanded to consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as ye see the day approaching. I was talking to a friend a couple weeks back, and she said to me, well, yeah, I got a relationship with God, but I don't want to go to church. I don't like people. People are flaky and people are hypocritical, and I don't want any man defining what my relationship with God should be. Okay. And I think most of us have someone in our lives who is like this, who just doesn't want to go to church, but we have to tell them how dangerous this is. I had to explain her that what people have done, whatever people will do, is no excuse for not heeding the word of God. Jesus said, or the word of God said, that Jesus is the author and the finisher of your faith. Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the one that we need to look to. So if his word says we have to fellowship, then we have to fellowship. Even if the people aren't always doing right. That's right. I didn't say it. But she continued. She went on, and we really got to the important thing here. She asked me, so when I get to heaven, you mean to tell me God is going to turn me away because I didn't go to church? Ooh, and so now we're getting to the real issue. Now we're getting it. So at this time, I had to be clear with her. I had to, as you're evangelizing, you got to meet them there and then bring them where you want them to go. I said, look, God is not up in heaven counting, well, you went to church this many Sundays, and you went to church this many Sundays, so therefore you did or didn't make it. That's not what God is doing. That is a legalistic view of religion. That's us trying to do things to earn our salvation. That is not what God is saying here. But the fact that you aren't going to church is the symptom of a greater problem. And all that is your own pride and your own rebellion. That pride, that rebellion is what's going to cause God to say, depart from me. And I love her. I love her. She is my assignment at work, but I had to tell her, you're not going to make it. So, saints, I had to say it to her, and we have to say it to this dying world. But today, God is also saying it to us. When we decide not to follow the order that he has set up, when we decide to go against God's program of fellowship, we are acting like one of the ones Hebrews warns us about, whose manner it is to abandon the fellowship. And simply put, that is rebellion. And the rebellion doesn't just happen in coming to church. Y'all know it happens in the world too, because there's other team environments. You can't say you're on the Lord's side and be rebellious on your team at work and say, well, the boss said this, but I'm not going to do, and I'm not going to do this. Well, yeah, you're not going to do it for very long. That's not how you show that you're on the Lord's side. You can't be on the Lord's side and then be a rebellious wife with your team at home and won't submit to your husband, won't take care of your kids. That is not being on the Lord's side. Men of God, you too, please hear me. You can't say you're on the Lord's side and be rebellious at home by provoking your sons to anger and ruling with an iron fist. Do this because I said so. Do that because I said so. Instead of the sacrificial love that Jesus told you to do it. So you better put away that pride today. Sean, come out of your rebellion today. Because on the Lord's side, God doesn't have any Batmans. He doesn't have any Holy Ghost vigilantes running around doing whatever they want to do, saying whatever they want to say, and then put Jesus' name on the end of it. No, you might want to be a team player on the Lord's side. Because like we see in the text today, there will come a time where we're going to need some help. So you might want to be on the Lord's side. You might want to join the team. And so if you want that help, then I've got to ask you one more time, who's on the Lord's side? You can't make it on your own. So go ahead and swallow your pride and join up with the saints on this winning team called the Lord's side. If you're on the Lord's side, then be like Joshua and play your role. Do your part. Be obedient to the word of God, especially when it comes from the man of God. If you're sick of being weak, if you're sick of getting tired and are sick of being tired and getting picked off by every single trick of the enemy, well, stop straggling in your giving. Stop straggling in your praying. Get into the word of God and join up on the Lord's side. Who's on the Lord's side? Who's on the Lord's side? I've got to ask you today, will you be like Moses and hold up the banner for the Lord? Will you be like Moses and declare to the whole world that you are on the Lord's side? Can the saints of God look at you and see the power of God over your life and get strength to keep on fighting? Will the enemies of God, can God count on you to have them look at you? And when they see you, they know that the power of God is all upon you. And when they see that, they know their defeat is imminent. Well, if that's you today, hallelujah, if you will hold up the banner of God and fight on the Lord's side, somebody give God praise. If that's you, if that's you, if you made up in your mind to follow Jesus, no turning back, then there's good news for you in the text, hallelujah. Because when you're on the Lord's side, thank you, Jesus, not only do you fight for him, but God fights for you. You see, God tells Moses in verse 14 that I will be the one that wipes out the Amalekites. And then he tells him in verse 16 that I will be the one that makes war with them from generation to generation to generation. And don't you know that God made good on his word? You see, it was true for Moses and Joshua, and it was true for all of Israel. And the same thing is true for us today. You see, you may not have a rod, but you can lift up the blood-stained banner of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You can lift up the banner that the prophet Isaiah talked about. And he said, in that day, there shall be a root of Jesse. He was coming out of Israel, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. He's going to be a banner, y'all. And to it shall the Gentiles seek. To it shall Sean seek. And guess what? His rest shall be glorious. Yeah, see, that's right. My banner is Jesus. My Yahweh Nisi is the light to lighten this Gentile soul. He's a light to show me the way back to God. He's a light to show me the way to a right relationship with my Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may have come here to hear a Christmas story, but you can watch that tomorrow on TBS for 24 straight hours. But as for today, I've come to tell you the Jesus story. Hey. And that story is a king who left his throne in glory, walked through 42 generations, and he was born of a virgin in the city of David, and he was wrapped in swaddling clothes, and he was laid in a manger. You see, his love came down, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, Jesus, because his love came down to save us. Because his love came down to raise us. His love came down to leave the 99 and go and get my straggling one. His love came down to tell me, I've got work for you to do. I've got a role for you to play. And that's follow me. His love came down just to tell me that you're not by yourself. I'll team up with you. So take my yoke upon you and learn of me. His love came down just to tell me, if you will take up your cross and follow me, I'll show you that I'll fight your battles. If you've got sickness, then the word of God tells you that he can fight that battle because he healed the sick. If you're blind and you can't see what's going on, The word of God tells you that he will give you sight when for your blinded eyes. If you need help overcoming the shadow of death, then the word of God tells you that he can raise the dead. Is anybody glad that he fights for you? Is anybody glad to be on the Lord's side? Is anybody glad that he came down? But not to hang pretty lights on a tree, but the light of the world. He came to hang on a tree. My Yahweh Nisi, my banner was nailed to a tree. But see, they messed up because they raised my banner at Calvary. And he said, if I be lifted up from the earth, this banner will draw all men unto me. So while he was lifted up, he was still fighting. While he suffered, he was still fighting. While he was crucified, he was still fighting my battles. I needed forgiveness, and he fought that battle. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I needed a way to provide for my family, and he fought that battle. Son, behold your mama. Woman, behold your son. I needed a way to fight the battle of having somebody remember little old me. So he looked at the thief, and he looked beyond the thief, and he said, you'll be with me in paradise. But most of all, I needed a way to pay my sin debt. I needed a way to secure my salvation. So Jesus said, I got that one too. It is finished. And he hung his head and he died for me. But don't you know, Rev, that my banner is not at half mast? See, I've got to tell the whole Jesus story. Woo! Not the story of some fictional man coming down a chimney late at night with a sack of presents over his shoulder. But the story of a real Savior who got up from the grave, and he had all power in his hand early, early, early. One Sunday morning, he got up just for me. My banner lives. My banner lives. My banner lives. I pledge allegiance to Yahweh Nisi. I pledge allegiance to the Lord my banner. I may not be Colin Kaepernick, but I'll take a knee before my Savior. I'll take a knee and submit to my Savior. I love him, I love him. I love him, I love him.
He's fighting for you. He's fighting for you. Will you fight for him? Will you raise the blood-stained banner, that bloody, that wounded, but that broken and beautiful banner? Ooh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Ooh, would it serve a God like this, who's on the Lord's side?
Why won't we serve a God like this? The God who has said, I will fight your battles if you will just take up your cross, and if you will just follow me. Just, he will meet what you do in the natural, and he'll add his super, and he will do supernatural things in your life. But you've got to be obedient. You have no idea what God has in store for you. No idea, no idea how you are hurting the kingdom of God when you won't serve him. Hallelujah. So I know we're excited, but God is telling me, I got to remind you that you need to be on the Lord's side. Your light has to shine so that others who follow it, when they get to you, they see Jesus. Your life has to sing a chorus to the world of glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. Some people will never read that scripture, so they're reading you. What is your life saying? Does your everyday witness tell of a Savior who was born, who lived, and died? If not, then today is the day to stop straggling. Start playing your role. Join up with the saints and advance the kingdom. Because the signs show that this same banner is coming back, not on a hill, but in the clouds. And things are wrapping up, and so we've got to show this dying world that you don't want to be an enemy of God. That is not a war you're going to win. Like the Amalekites, if you reject Jesus and his atoning work, then God will put you out of his remembrance. You will not be in the book of life. You will be put out of his presence and into hell that was intended for Satan and his demons. So yeah, this is the real Jesus story. The one that tells you to choose this day whom you will serve. Joshua said that too. I'm serving the Lord. I'm on the Lord's side. I'm not perfect, but I'm on the Lord's side. I'm getting there. He's working on me, and he's already fixed me as I was working on this. So I'm on the Lord's side. I know that we're on the Lord's side. I know a lot of you are on the Lord's side, but choose ye this day whom he will serve. So I'm on the Lord's side, and the question is, are you?